$10 million Golden Ball, starring Nick Cannon, will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you a quiz show that definitely has balls.
Gee, I wonder who wrote that one.
I wonder who could possibly have been.
I wonder.
Hunk, sexy stud boy definitely did that one.
That you did, no, but
it was you, wasn't it, Gordon?
It was Gordon. Yeah. It sure as heck wasn't me, even though I am a little bit less studly.
That was Gordon Pepper, by the way.
And I'm Jason Block.
That's
and
me.
And usually, you know, I don't throw around the word historical very often when it comes to what we do on this show. But this week was historical for not one, but two different reasons, which we will get to. And we will also talk about the stone cold assassin known as Adriana Harmeyer, a potential ship voyage on Top Chef. And we're going to review a bridge. I have a bridge to sell us, don't we? Well, GSN
actually
has a bridge.
No, yes, GSN is trying to sell us on bridges. But does it hold up to the original bridge? We shall see that, and also a list of five good reasons why blank. That'll make sense in a moment. But right now, from somewhere in America, I'm Chico Alexander, and WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to episode 449 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5N1 Studios. My name is Jason Block. I am your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pemper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are. And when you say that this week was a history-making week, you are not joking.
No, I was not. So when we last left, we were down to two shows in the run of Pat Sajak ending for 41 seasons. And at the end of Thursday night's episode, Vanna White had this to say. This clip courtesy of Sony Pictures Television and all the people involved with Wheel of Fortune. So here we go.
I can't believe that tomorrow is our last show together. 8,000 episodes went by like that.
Come on.
When I first started, I was so green. You made me so comfortable and made me so confident, Pat. You made me who I am. You really did. As the years have gone by, we've grown up on television, but we've also shared so much more behind the scenes. And as much fun as we had on camera, those memories, milestones, and life events we shared with our families outside the studio are my favorite. We've watched our children grow up together. We've traveled all over the world. We've eaten hundreds of meals together. We've laughed. We've cried. We've celebrated. Oh, gosh. What an incredible and unforgettable journey we've had. And I've enjoyed every minute of it with you. As this chapter of our lives is coming to an end, I know you'll still be close by. You're like a brother to me, and I consider you a true lifelong friend who I will always adore. I love you, Pat.
Now, that was emotional as heck, okay? That was beautiful. That was terrific. And, you know, so we get to Friday's show. The Friday show itself had a little bit of an interesting element outside of the fact that Pat decided to do some sort of final spin giving and give everyone $5,000, if I remember.
That wasn't a work at all, by the way. No.
What'd you say?
That wasn't a work at all, by the way.
Yeah, of course not. But then Pat says goodbye the only way possible. Again, courtesy of Sony Pictures Studios.
Well, the time has come to say goodbye.
I have a few thanks and acknowledgments before I go. And I want to start with all of you watching out there. It's been an incredible privilege to be invited into millions of homes, night after night, year after year, decade after decade. And I've always felt that the privilege came with a responsibility to keep this daily half hour a safe place for family fun. No social issues, no politics, nothing embarrassing, I hope, just a game. But gradually it became more than that, a place where kids learned their letters, where people from other countries honed their English skills, where families came together along with friends and neighbors and entire generations. What an honor to have played even a small part in all that. Thank you for allowing me into your lives. Every time we taped a show, I met three new people from all parts of this wonderful country and the world who were kind and considerate, who rooted for each other, who took great pride in talking about their family, their hometown, their friends, their schools, their jobs, even their pets. In the end, they were the real stars of the show. I genuinely like these people, and I'll miss the chance to meet more of them. To our staff and crew, particularly the veterans with whom I've shared the stage for 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, and more, it's been a joy to work with you. Your skills and dedication and good humor made this a place I always wanted to be. Everyone pulled together and cared about each other and about the show. It worked because you made it work. It looked great because you made it look great. And you made my job so much easier. And I want you to know that your efforts never went unnoticed by me nor unappreciated. I'll miss you guys. The best part of the last couple of years has been the chance to work with my daughter, Maggie, to watch her grow in her role and as a person. She interviewed me recently and I talked about my life and the show. I hope you've seen some of it online. I really enjoyed doing it. I have to admit it's a little weird to be interviewed by your own daughter, but she did a great job. Maggie is liked around here because she's talented and smart and funny, but she's loved around here because she's kind and caring and humble. Leslie and I are blessed to have two such wonderful kids. There's Maggie, of course, and her fabulous brother, Patrick, and his new family. As for Leslie, she's been my wife and life partner for 35 years. I love her for who she is and what we are as a team. Finally, to my professional other half, dear Vanna, like me, she takes the show very seriously, but not herself. I shudder to think what these 40 plus years might have been like had they brought someone in all full of themselves playing the prima donna role. Vanna is as sweet and unassuming as she seems. We've seen a lot of changes in each other's lives over the years, but we've always been there for each other. I want to thank her for her lovely goodbye on yesterday's show. And while I very much miss working with her, I take solace in the fact that we live about 5 miles apart, so we'll see plenty of each other. But I will miss our nightly closes and her laughter and her good nature. She's a very special woman. And I know you're all pleased to know that she'll be back next season. And by the way, you'll still see plenty of me for the next few months. That's right, summer reruns. So the jokes will be the same, but I'd appreciate it if you'd laugh again anyway. That's it. Thank you all so very much. And goodbye.
Wow. That was freaking woof.
I'm feeling emotions all of a sudden.
So am I. So am I.
Just, this has all been like a sort of a closing chapter of our childhood. Certainly myself and Gordon. And
of course me. I was on the damn show.
You were on the damn show, so.
I did not do well at all, but I was on the damn show. And it's funny. On the Wheel of Fortune alumni group, I found the person, one of the people who I actually competed with. Her name is Dalette Brady, and she was the one who won the whole thing. And very, very nice lady. But, Gordon, what were your thoughts about this whole week, the last couple of shows?
I thought it was very poignant. I thought they did a fantastic job. I thought that last episode was great, even with especially with the $5,000 given out. And they did the right thing by cutting around short and giving Pat his moment to shine. And they did the right thing with Vanna and Maggie and everybody else. They really made it what it should be, which is a celebration of Pat Sajak. So I thought everything was great.
And it really was.
And
we already have our first Passing of the Torch commercial. that was released, I believe, on Wednesday. So why don't we just check this out? This is the one of the second commercials that they filmed a few months ago. This is, again, courtesy of Sony Pictures. Why don't we check this out?
Well, this is it, Ryan. What do you think?
Impressive, Pat.
Ryan's getting ready to take the wheel.
Ryan, I know the contestants are going to love you.
I think what you're going to enjoy most is meeting the players and getting to know the audience at home. It's such a part of people's lives. I mean, people love this show. They come to us every day and thank us for a half hour where they can watch with the whole family.
Boy, you both make it look so easy.
Well, you're never going to find a better job, and you're never going to find a better co-host.
Aw, thanks, Pat.
Ryan Seacrest joins Vanna White this fall on Wheel of Fortune.
And we already know that the season is already being taped right now as we speak. And I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing good things from
I mean, to be completely honest and blunt here, this is Ryan Seacrest we're talking about. This guy, you want to talk about a hosting Hall of Fame when he's done. He definitely needs to be there. I wouldn't understand why there would be any issues with Ryan Seacrest at all.
No, yep. Not at all.
Seacrest is basically born and bred to do what he's doing, and the fact that he's been doing it for such a long time. I mean, we remember him from Wild Animal Games, Gladiators 2000, Click. And now he is building a career with his radio job and American Idol, and now Wheel of Fortune.
It is a
full circle sort of situation, because remember, Merv Griffin picked Ryan Seacrest himself to be the host of Click. So in a way, it's sort of like a homecoming, and it's a testament to almost 30 years on the job. I know Ryan Seacrest, the man
30 years.
He does not age. You would not believe he's been doing this for 30 years.
Well, I think Ryan Seacrest has a vial of Dick Clark's aging water. I mean, really. But he really looks terrific. However, believe it or not, that was not the most not the biggest moment that happened on Friday. Okay? Now, check this out. A guy by the name, and I need to pull this up, a guy by the name of Patrice Massey lost on More or Less, but then gets into the showcase. Okay, he did not the first show. The other woman had a motorcycle trip to Hawaii and a trip to Milan. He gets an espresso machine, a trip to Miami, and a 2024 K5 GT line. This clip, courtesy of CBS Television, is legitimately historical. Check this out.
Carol, mind if we start with you? Here we go. Great showcase. Motorcycle and a leather jacket to go with it, because, you know, you got to look cool. Beachwear, trip to Hawaii, you know, because you got to look cool when you're in Hawaii. Designer shoes and a trip to Milan, because you got to look cool while you're in Milan. $30,028 was your bid. Actual price. $36,401, difference of $6,373. I know. Patrice, your wife is on the edge. I can see her right here. A special machine, a trip to Miami, and a Kia K5. You bid $39,500. Actual price? So, let me tell you.
Wow!
Let me just tell you.
No.
$39,501. Off by a dollar.
Oh, my God.
Off by a dollar. With absolutely no help from anybody in the audience, by the way. $83,068. That was the best showcase bid in the history of the show, in my opinion. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please get your pets spayed or neutered to help control the pet population. And whatever you do, take care of yourself. Not just your physical health, going to the gym, but your mental health. Should be a habit, like going to the gym. To normalize it. We'll see you next time on The Price is Right, all right? I love you.
Now, Gordon, did you notice the shade that Drew threw?
In my opinion, I don't see anything, in my opinion, that would force Drew to... No, I'm teasing.
Yeah.
Obviously, he threw shade. You know, my thoughts are a little mixed here. I may be a little bit contrarian on this one. You know, yes, on one aspect, I get it. You know, it was a pure fun, joy bid. You throw the one in there. Obviously, from a producer, you want to see that to see if it can get hit and try to set a record. I get that. On the other end, you have someone that did, by the way, get it exactly right. He didn't cheat. He did his homework, just like some ice cream guy by the name of Michael did over in Pressure Luck.
40 years this week, by the way.
40 years ago this week.
So, I get the shade, and I get it, but at the same time, if you do your research, why not celebrate that also? You know, you don't always have to luck box your way into a win or yourself into a win and have that be, well, the best bid ever. No, it wasn't. That was a luck box bid because you made it 35,001. Let's you want to call shade shade? Let's call a shade of shade here.
You know, I will agree.
To be hit.
Yeah, it was 39,501. I mean, my dad said, what was it? You know, you should always do just a straight bid. But the fact is that, yes, he got close, but I think Drew, you're correct, Gordon. Drew threw some unwarranted shade. Because
unwarranted would be the correct word. Do I think what he did is great? Absolutely. I'm not gonna put the guy down for being off by a dollar. I mean, that's a fantastic bid. Without question, that's a great bid. So that's fantastic. I'm thrilled. But again, you're penalizing someone for doing their homework.
Well, back in 2000,
before you walk into a game show, it's the same thing as people that, like a Rob Santoli, for argument's sake, who memorized half the puzzles on Wheel of Fortune and they was able to get them with 0-1 letter left. You don't fault the contestant. How dare you study and prepare yourself to try to win money?
By that logic, Gordon, and here's a segue, you would penalize Adriana Harmeyer for studying J Archive. Hit it, Chico. Yeah.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
I'm not giving back my $1,000, just so we're clear, because I studied my ass off for that $1,000. Thank you very much.
How dare you study to try to do well on Jeopardy? Jason, how dare you study to win $125,000?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's...
I'm not giving my $1,000 back.
But, however, I think it's time for a little cool in the game because we have a super champ in the house. Adriana Harmeyer is kicking behind, baby. Tell us, Chico, what happened on Wednesday?
Okay, so Adriana Harmeyer has $225,700 going into Wednesday's match. She has the possibility of crossing over what we like to call rarefied air. $250,000 on the line here. She has to get past Connor Townsend out of Chelsea, Michigan, and Enzo Cannon out of Orlando. Going into the final, Connor has 9,600. Enzo has 16,400. Adriana has 20,600. So everybody's got their work cut out for them. The final Jeopardy category in famous names. Vying with Eiffel, this engineer wanted to create big. An admiring account said the obelisk of Luxor is too short to be a spoke.
Oh! Oh, pick me!
I saw the Fucklands video on this. Pick me!
Excuse me, I have one of these things about 7 minutes from my house. It's a Ferris wheel. One of the biggest in Coney Island is the Dino's Wonder Wheel, which my sister
can. That's just why you should pick me. Pick me.
It is Gustav Ferris, I believe his name
Charles
is.
Charles Ferris.
Okay. Gustav Eiffel. That's right.
Charles Ferris.
George Ferris. Yeah. But so Enzo gets Connor gets it wrong. Unfortunately, he said Borgium, the guy from the Mount Rushmore statue. Enzo gets it right, almost doubles to 31-4. Adriana gets it right, gets 12-4, and has 33,000 and is going into tomorrow's show with an 11-day champion run of 258,700. Gordon, you know why I love why Adriana is one of my heroes right now? Because she is one of those players that lets absolutely nothing faze her. Nothing. She is just so good.
Ice water.
Ice water indeed. It's insane. Gordon, your thoughts.
I'm waiting for Ken Jennings to yell at her about how dare she study and learn for getting.
Oh, okay. Is this gonna be a running joke?
Yes. Yes, it is.
No. Yell said it's gonna be a running joke later.
Uh-huh.
So, or we can make this a running joke also, but let's run to the next segment, shall we?
Okay.
So in other words, you have no thoughts on her gameplay right now, or no?
Well, I think her gameplay is fantastic in terms of that, but I agree with both of you. She's very ice water-ish.
Yeah.
And I mean in a positive way, not in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way. She's got ice water. She knows what she's doing. She reminds me of Matea Roach combined with a little bit of Holzhauer.
Yeah, agreed. Oh yeah, that's exactly right. And if she put it to you this way, if it's true that the season ends in mid-July, we could have a 20-30 game winner here if she keeps going the way she's going.
We know the history of Jeopardy in terms of that. You know, this is where Ken Jennings made his run. This is where other people made their runs, which is in the summer.
Speaking of the summer, we had AGT, and I think we had a potential few finalist acts this week. At least I thought so.
Let me ask you this question. Were any of them ones that we did not have to hit the meteor offender button on?
Let me see.
Right now.
By the way, the answer is no.
The answer is no, correct. Yes. The answer is no.
Legion was in the finale of the Italian talent show Tutti che balli, and they are the recipient of Sophia's first golden buzzer. So mm-hmm. that.
Okay. D.D. Simon used to be known as Denisha Starr. She was signed to Interscope Records.
And then The Wrecklaws, okay. The Wrecklaws, a Canadian country music duo, they were actually nominated for 3 Juno Awards in 2023, and they also hosted the CCMA Awards that year.
And Roni Sagi and Rhythm, not actually people who were, you know, offenders per se, but the other one, Solange Cardinale, has been on Greece's Got Talent, made the finals of Portugal's Got Talent, and has been on Penn & Teller Fool Us. But they were some good acts. I had fun with this week's audition run.
I loved it too. I thought it was amazing. I thought there was a lot of different acts and some that could go theoretically all the way.
Gordon, were you impressed by any of them?
No.
Okay. Top. Wow. Okay.
Top room.
Again.
Okay.
What is the name of the show again? Remind me.
America's Got Talent.
Yes, I know. I know. But
you know, I mean, I don't want to be that guy, even though I am. But it's like, yes, I get it. You're showcasing talent from other countries. I get it. It's a talent show. I get it that you have to promote entertainment. I get it. Do I have an issue with that? No, I don't. Because again, you're trying to do a television show, and that's how you keep it on the air if you think that's where your best talent's coming from. But at least try to put some American entertainment on.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I believe next week, there's going to be a special, and I also think the Olympic trials are this week too, right?
Yeah. So again, America's Got Talent's going to be abruptly interrupted by coverage of the games from Paris this year. So that's something to keep an eye on and keep tabs on.
So, by the way, as you predicted, in the most obvious elimination of the season, Manny is not going on a boat.
A boat for Manny.
Yay.
So what happens here with Manny? Well, we start with our quick fire. Yeah, 5 minutes to identify 26 ingredients in a blindfolded taste test. Hell's Kitchen Online one. Person with the most correct answers receives
Chico, halt, cease, desist. Top Chef did this in season one.
Fair. Anyway, most correct answers. Yeah, most correct answers receives 5,000. Then you have 30 minutes to cook dishes using the correctly identified ingredients. Overall favorite dish received 10,000. And guest judge is Chef Paul Bartolotta. Winners were Manny with 23 out of 26 for the 5,000. And Savannah for her fried pork chop faux Caesar with cheddar and horseradish Kalamata olive sauce for the 10,000. Then we go to the elimination challenge with a boarding pass to the MS Eurodam on the line. The chefs create dishes exemplifying their time on Top Chef and their culinary growth throughout the season. Laura, because she won the previous elimination challenge, receives an extra 30 minutes of cooking time. Dishes are served at Harbor House to the judges and several guest diners, including Bartolotta, Chef Selena Terry, Tori Miller, Milunka Radicevich, Kyle Canal, and Dane Baldwin, and Food and Wine Editor-in-Chief Hunter Lewis. The winner, with a potato pavé, burnt onion and cherry jam, and chicken sauce reduction. She also won the quickfire, Savannah! And
yeah, she's starting to peak at the right time.
Yes. Oh,
but yeah, she is coming into fire right now. So, yeah. So Manny, on the other hand, with a snapper a la Vera Cruzada with creamy potatoes and saltines. The closest he's going to get to a cruise ship is watching a Disney Cruise Line commercial.
You know what's really amazing is that from... he actually won the very first elimination challenge, was high in the second, and never got... He was low 6 times during the season. 6.
Yeah. He picked a bad time to have the yips, basically.
No. He did not have the yips. He was just not very good. There were people who were worse.
I don't think he had the yips at all. I think the judges kept him around waiting to see when Manny would get back to episode one or episode two Manny. And he never did. And the biggest problem is that the ladies were just waltzing at this point. Both ladies are on fire. You have Savannah, who's starting to win stuff, and you have Laura, who got back from Last Chance Kitchen, and she's on a little bit of a run.
So, and she may win the whole thing. And next week...
I don't think Laura wins the whole thing. I think she's going to run in a... I'm not sure she gets to the final three, to be honest, because Danny has been far and away the best chef. Danny's been on fire. Savannah is coming into her own... I would love to
be talking about
the final three. I don't see which one of those chefs he's better than.
You could be talking about your final two there, Danny and Savannah.
You could.
I don't think Danny and Dan is your final two.
We will see. But the first of the two ship-based episodes, and there's rumored to be a very big guest on next week's show. So we'll find out about this. But speaking of guests, our queens are dealing with Carson Kressley and Alex Mappa in the Property Queens episode. They have to create real estate commercials to sell campy and extravagant locations. Because Angeria has been cut off twice, RuPaul organizes the team. Allows Angeria to organize the team. So Nina and Chanel are going to be pretty dead realty selling Salem, Massachusetts. Okay. Plastique and Roxy are going to be the Keepa Cummins real estate, selling Tumbleweed, Texas. Gottmik and Georges are going to be the Sharon Tiff real estate, selling Frosty Bits, Alaska. And I can't name that next name. I'm sorry.
I got you. I got Andrea and Vanji are selling Swamp Realty, selling Gator Glades, Florida.
Thank you.
This is what you're paying your Paramount Plus money for, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Runway category is Day to Night Reveal. Plastique and Roxy are the top two queens. Super Freaky Girl was the lip sync. Roxy wins and cuts off Gottmik. So, after this week's episode, Roxy has three badges. Wow. Gottmik, Plastique and Vanessa have two, and Angeria, Georges and Nina West have one, and Chanel still has zero. Next week is going to be a political, a combination political and roast bit, which will be the National Drag Convention roast on this coming Friday on your Paramount Plus All Stars. So there's that. So it is time to, I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. It's time to do a review of Beat the Bridge.
Well, wait. Before we do that one, it's time to do a review of the show that spawned Beat the Bridge, which is called Bridge of Lies.
Let's do that first. Okay, you're correct. Go ahead, Chico, because you've watched this. Go ahead.
I have watched this, and it is basically an hour-long show on BBC One. Where a group of contestants, four in total, have to cross a game board fashioned like a bridge. And the conceit is that for each of their crossings, they have to pick a true sort of statement that fits the category.
Okay.
And selecting the true statements among the incorrect, they earn cash prize, and they get to win that cash prize that they banked by crossing one more bridge, which are general knowledge lines instead of one total category. Now, this show has
run called Bridge of Lies is that a wrong answer is considered a lie.
Yes, and this show's run for three regular seasons and two celebrity seasons. In fact, they're currently running their second celebrity season as we speak. The good Ross Kemp is exemplary. The set alone is fantastic. I like the sort of game mechanic that they have, and the show is fairly decently paced.
I love the pacing of the show. Let me go back a little bit. I think the hosting is great. I like the fact that there's a couple of lifelines, one of which allows you to speak to your teammates that are in another room that can't help you unless you're there. Another one allows you to autobank the money. And by the way, the team, if they see that you're in trouble, they can autobank the money. This is important. A wrong answer halves your bank. Three wrong answers, and unless your team saves you, you're out, you're done for the day.
Well, okay, all right. I'll get to that in a minute. Go ahead.
There's definitely some chase elements in this game. And it feels like it. Now, on the bridge itself, there are 15, there's 25 spaces on the bridge. 15 of them have correct answers. 10 of them do not. They have lies.
Yep.
Avoid the lies, find the truth, win the money. Ross Kemp, by the way, is the host, and he is really, really, really good. So this is a show that I would definitely watch.
This is definitely a well-put-together show. This was an A show when I watched it, and now that it's gone through five total seasons, it's still an A show.
So I really like the show. I don't like it as much as Chico does, but this is a solid show. Would I watch this online? Absolutely. This is a B+. Now, making the comparison by going from here to GSN's version is sort of like, if I can make some like imitating art, we have the Nathan's hot dog, and now we're going to the veggie hot dog version of
this. Exactly.
The impossible wieners, as it were, which are still, well, they're still delicious, but it's not the same. Let's explain. The game remains unchanged, but in translating it from 1 hour to 30 minutes, several things are condensed, sped up, and compressed, as it were.
Well, actually, there's a lot of changes. I'm going to have to right there. There's a lot of changes. For starters, the minor ones is that we go from four people to three. Another minor one is because there's padding. Filling the spatting is Cameron Mathis.
Cameron Mathis.
Yeah. So in addition to that, you have to get across the bridge. The bridge in this case is no longer wigwagging back and forth. It is now sort of kind of a straight line where you go linear from one spot to the other. Do the spots change? Sure they do. But that is the same concept. Also, there is no bonus tchotchkes. There's no hotline. There's no save point. There is none of that. They do have a bank button by the other two players if they think that you are in trouble.
And that's available to them every round as opposed to only once per game in the UK version.
Correct.
Right. What happens is that you have, in the American version, you have two categories, and then the third person gets a category on their own, no matter what. They have no choice. Okay.
Right. And then for every correct answer, they bank money. And if they successfully cross the bridge, they bank a bonus. And all of that money is pooled into a final bank, which if they cross one more bridge in the final crossing, they get to keep that money plus an additional $5,000. If not, they split $1,000.
$1,000. Right. Okay.
So the good is the game conceit remains relatively unchanged.
Bullcrap! No!
Jason, behave! Don't make me pull out the bottle, mister!
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
That's how you deal with Jason Block, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, go on. I'm just having fun. Go ahead.
All right. So, the set itself, I mean, the bridge itself is still, because they obviously use the UK plans, a very sophisticated piece of equipment. That's where the good ends, because we have a whole lot of questions of varying difficulty. I don't have much of a problem with that, but what I do have a problem with is most of the shows that we see on television are paced way too slowly. This one, on the other hand, is paced way too quickly. It's like they're trying to get 45 minutes worth of material into 25 minutes.
I'm going to disagree with you on the pacing. I think the pacing was a little bit better than that. It's not fantastic, but the pacing didn't slog you off. This is not a bad game show if they don't call it Beat the Bridge.
Right. Exactly.
If it was a regular old game show from a GSN standpoint, yeah, okay, it does what it says on the box it's going to do. It gives you a whole bunch of multiple choice trivia questions that you answer in a specific amount of time limit. It's okay. You don't want that. The bigger problem is that this is supposedly the U.S. version of the British version, and as we said, it's like the Oscar Mayer hot dog turning into a veggie dog. It's completely different. The texture is different. The taste is different. And by the time you're done eating the veggie one, you're pining to get an Oscar Mayer one. Just like when I was done watching the GSN version, and yes, I like you guys, please hire me. But if this was based on Bridge of Lies, Bridge of Lies is an infinitely better show. I'm going to the T bar, T minus.
No, but here I also have a big problem with Cameron Matheson. I have a very big problem with the game mechanic. It's like you can play a perfect game, but if you screw up at the end, you get $333.33. Okay, that is something that is bad, bad, bad. I'm not going to outright fail this show, but this could have been a hell of a lot better. D for disappointing. Yeah.
And also, Cameron Matheson, he does understand the role, his role as sort of ringmaster of this circus, but he's very shouty. It's almost to the point of parody how much this guy shouts. I mean, I see
what he's trying to do. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, and you would think that a man with as much hosting experience as this guy had, he would probably get it by now. It's like you have to match the mood of the room. The room is very off kilter to what Cameron is doing.
Exactly. And actually, in my opinion, this is the worst GSN quote-unquote original since the new rebirth a couple of years ago with places like Split Second, People Puzzler, America Says, Switch. This is the lowest of the low of those five, in my personal opinion. So.
I think Blake Slate might be racist.
And also Hey Yahoo too. So I forgot about that one. But very quickly, let's actually talk about something incredibly positive, which was because Let's Make a Deal is either close to or in reruns right now as we speak and prepping for season 16 as Wayne Brady ends his run on The Wiz this week. Okay. It's season 15, and it is more of the same, but you know what? The more of the same is very good, and the prime time upped everything into a level that we rarely see, offering prizes that you would never see on Let's Make a Deal, including a Rolls-Royce Cullinan. Again, this is just an A-plus show all around. It really is.
It is an A-plus, and this is actually the first season where they are shooting at their new home in Haven. And it hasn't lost any of its luster, I think. We've lost the charm of the at-homies, but we all knew that that was going to be a thing that was not long for this world in our post-pandemic world. But overall, this show has not lost a beat. And it's only going to get better from here.
I hope so. I really do. We shall see.
So on that, it's just so good. And it's going to be very interesting to see which shows of the daytime era get into the nighttime game show. Because isn't this the first year or is it the second year? This is the second year, right?
The second year, Let's Make a Deal primetime.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the primetime game show Emmy nominees.
Because
Password,
they moved the daytime award to primetime because of basically they're not grouping it by a day part but by genre. So
mm-hmm.
so let's so, So let's make a deal as facing a stiff competition, let's just say. Now, we don't have the nominees as of yet, but...
It should be soon. You know, the nominations, by the way, the Emmy nominations will start to vote June 13th, tomorrow. So,
all right. So that's something to look forward to. Also, something to look forward to, I have a legal pad.
Ooh.
It's going to have 5 good reasons for whatever I can fit on this legal pad. And that's coming up right after all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, 6 & 8 with 5 & 1. You're home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we will give you 22 different posts of different game shows that we're not going to be seeing this year.
Hmm?
Like Break the Bank.
Oh. Look, I see what he's trying to do.
Okay. But, you know, we'll think on that, and we'll be back right after this. This is 5 & 1 of This is We Love to Interrupt.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Vision is presented by Beat the Bridgerton. The 8 close-knit siblings of the Bridgerton family look for love and happiness as they are time-warped to 2024 and forced to cross a giant illuminated bridge filled with prospective suitors, maybe? Because we all know that the Bridgerton is full of the stuff that you pay the Netflix money for. Ray J. John Page hosts.
Yes, but you have to make sure that the rating is TVMA. Got to get the women vote in there.
I know.
Lots of naked men in 2024.
I know.
But you know what?
Like, Kiesla's watching Bridgerton as we speak, and I work with 2 ladies who are big fans, so I know this.
Okay. But, Gordon, if you would, please.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
I'd have put Julie Andrews as the host of Beat the Bridgerton. Anyway, thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, at Rock104RockTracks, at Doug Morris Games, at Tracks Productions. Listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks from his palatial Pine Belt estate on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com. That's the live stream, and the Rock 104 and Odyssey apps available now at your favorite app store.
By the way, I see you have the greatest bat in the history of the bat racks on there.
Now, quite possibly the greatest bat of all time.
Get the business. Get the business time. I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to
But first, I'll start with an amuse-bouche, where we have more information on the upcoming reboot of Hollywood Squares coming in 2025. Drew Barrymore, as you know, will be center square, but the newest person to be minted, the master of the Hollywood Squares, following in the grand and glorious footprints of Peter Marshall, John Davidson, Tom Bergeron, and to a lesser extent, John Bowser Bowman, NFL All-Pro turned Emmy-winning CBS Mornings host Nate Burleson.
You know what? I like this choice. This I really do. Because I've watched him on NFL. Smooth, incredibly professional. I want to see what this guy does.
He tailors himself to his audience, because I've seen him on the NFL Today, I've seen him on CBS Mornings, I've seen him on Nickelodeon's coverage of the NFL. This is a man who is suited to his audience, and if he can, and yeah, I've even seen him on Superfan. Yeah, that piece of garbage, but yeah, I like this choice. This is a really good choice.
Gordon?
Yep.
Okay. But in a move that surprised, at least to me, absolutely no one, have the greatest renewal in the history of renewals. By the way, we'd be saying that because that's their in-joke every time they post
it. No, their in-joke is, without a doubt, the greatest blank of all time.
Usually panel, because it's... we are getting a season two of After Midnight. And by the way, Taylor Tomlinson is excellent. She has grown into the role. She's really, really good. And we want to also congratulate our friend Eric Pierce and all the people who work at After Midnight for this review.
That's us. Stephen Bear, Carrie Bialik, Tom Purcell, Evelyn McGee, Colbert, James Dixon, Jack Martin, Joe Farrell, Mike Barra, Whitney Hodak, Henry R. Munoz III, Jason Nadler, Joe Firestone, Alex Wells, and Eric E-Dog Pierce.
That is correct. Yeah, Eric, congratulations. Really good stuff. And by the way, the funny thing is that they have made it right for the internet era and the TikTok era. It's so good.
It is a combination of a typical late night show and also the previous At Midnight. So.
Oh, and by the way, if they want to send a clip for Emmy consideration, send the Drew Carey Fish concert review. That is one of the funniest things I have ever seen. Just unbelievably good. So,
Gordon, thoughts?
I agree with Jay, which means I need to get my head examined.
Uh-huh. Well, you sent me the date book, so it's okay.
So to be, even though I'm agreeing with Jay, it's a fun show. It's a show that doesn't take itself too seriously. And part of the reasons why they ordered the show is that it is a cheap show to budget. So you're going to be seeing a lot more of After Midnight for a while. I really think that.
I do too, and Taylor Tomlinson is just going to get better and better and better. And do not be surprised if this show wins an Emmy, if not now, down the road. It's really that good.
It is that good.
You know, I mean, I don't know where you put it on one.
Probably comedy.
No, but I'm talking about, is it a game show? Technically, not really. But you could, it's just that good. But anyway, getting to the date book. Thursday, as we record this, Alone is having their season premiere. I believe that's the cold, frigid one, if I'm not mistaken.
That is cold and frigid one, yes.
Okay. Monday is the season premiere of A Great American Recipe. And Monday and Wednesday, we have the season premiere of Love is Blind Brazil and the season finale of Top Chef. But let's talk about that app though.
We have an late addition to the date book. Saturday is the season one U.S. premiere of BBC Three's I Kissed a Boy with Danny as host.
Okay.
It's basically The Bachelor with gay men.
Okay.
In Italy.
Okay, cool. All right. Excellent. That is actually, that was a year ago. I'm guessing this was the one, the 2023 version?
Yes.
And where is it going to be on?
It's going to be on Hulu.
Okay, cool. All right.
And now, excellent. Let's talk about
Dat Apto.
Right. If you are a fan of the 1% Club, then you are by no means unaware of the 1% Club app available at your favorite app store, which has a practice game on it. But the ingenious thing is you can play along with shows as they air live on Fox or on demand on Prime Video.
That's kind of cool.
The app, because I actually downloaded the app to play along. So that's the good part of the app. The bad part of the app is that it only has the one demo and the episodes. It doesn't have anything else. It doesn't give you anything else to do. And it will basically, when the season's over, there's a good reason why you should just get rid of it.
Yeah, it's If you remember the Jeopardy Challenger toy back in the 80s,
yes.
It's kind of sort of like that.
Yeah, but at least the Jeopardy Challenger toy had some sort of archive for you to play with. I mean, to be fair, this doesn't have an archive because there's no other shows, but could it not hurt to maybe use the UK version as background, you know, as extra stuff? That would have been smart.
That would have been smart. That would be very smart.
Not so much, and who boy?
That's dumb.
Now, if you watched...
Talk about an airport, Karen, but here we are.
So if you watched NXT Battleground, and if you're a wrestling fan, I know you did, the host was a up-and-coming rapper named Sexy Red with two X's. She's one of those, you know, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion types. Ice Spice, more likely. But before the show, and she didn't notify the WWE people, she got into a Pier 6 brawl at the airport and was arrested. Oops.
Sexy puffs.
Yeah, she, according to Radar Online, there was some surveillance footage. She got off with a minor offense. No one was charged with assault.
Others were charged with assault, but the alleged victims were taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for.
The reason why she was arrested is because she was waving around one of those metal stand thingies that you do with the thing with the expandable barrier. That's what she was doing. Not so smart, but we need some Hollywood haterade.
Yeah.
Hollywood haterade.
Haterade! Okay. We all thought that Paramount and Skydance were going to make the horizontal business dance of love, so to speak, right? Someone backed out on the deal, and I believe it was Skydance, yes?
So, Yeah. Yeah, so he pulled out is what he did. I am so sorry. Anyway,
they pulled out of the deal. Yes, correct. Very good.
I have the statement, and you can read between the lines here, but the Redstone family trust that controls Paramount has issued this. We have not been able to reach mutually acceptable terms regarding the potential transaction with Skydance Media for the acquisition of a controlling stake in NAI. NAI is grateful to Skydance for their months of work in pursuing this potential transaction and looks forward to the ongoing successful production collaboration between Paramount and Skydance. NAI supports the recently announced strategic plan being executed by Paramount's Office of the CEO, as well as their ongoing work and that of the company's board of directors to continue to explore opportunities to drive value creation for all Paramount shareholders. Blah, blah, blah. Words.
Oh my God, the corporate.
Jason, what does that mean?
I have no idea. And I speak corporate. You know?
Gordon, what that mean?
Ooh, me. Ooh.
Please.
Money didn't work out, and we didn't get all the things that we wanted because the money didn't work out.
Are you saying that the money didn't work out?
I think the money didn't work out.
Oh, no. Oh.
So where are we sending all the negotiators and Sexy Red? Making sure that she flies private.
We are going to send them to Canada. And we mentioned the rec laws that they were on the Junos and the CCMAs, but they were never on Canada's Got Talent, were they?
Nope.
But I'll tell you two people who are going to be on the next season of Canada's Got Talent. That would be British-Canadian comedian Catherine Ryan and Shania Twain.
Ooh.
Oh, cool. Shania Twain's a legend, man.
He is a legend.
She just worked with British singer Anne Marie on a single called Unhealthy last year.
Uh-huh. And, Shania Twain has released the following statement. Canada, I am ready. I'm really excited to discover the amazing talent you have to share. Canada is well known for having high caliber creative people. It is my honor to sit back and see you at your best. Let's go, my fellow Canadians. No word, by the way, on whether previous judges Lily Singh or Trish Stratus will be returning.
I think Trish Stratus, is going to return. I think she's been doing well on there from what I've been seeing.
Yeah. But, yeah, next season's going to be Shania, Catherine, joining Cardinal Michelle, and, of course, Howie Mandel.
Mm. But let's get some media pros out there out of the way before we give the media pro to you-know-who.
Gee, I wonder who.
I got pros in different area codes.
Okay, in this week's Media Pro Report, several drag queens are going on a slaycation. Marshawn Evans Daniels has more allegations on what went down in the boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Strahan's daughter celebrates finishing chemo treatment.
Please get well soon. I've been following that story. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, very heartbreaking. Mm. Kelly Clarkson made a promise to her kids that she wouldn't replace Katy Perry on American Idol.
Megan I know she would. Put it to you this way. I think she would be the best choice for it, but I don't think she's going to do it.
Your Trivia Hall of Fame nominees for 2024 are as follows. Colby Burnett, the team Los Lobos of Valentin Ferrero, Erundino Alonso, Manuel Zapata, and Alberto Sanfrutto. Ed Goodgold and Dan Karlinski. Tom Cookie Masterson Gottlieb. Dowd Jackson and Joey Goldman, Magnus Magnusson, Wing Commander G.R. Mulkey, Yogesh Rout, Matea Roach, Ann Robinson and Jane Lynch, and Gail Trimble. You can go to
voting.com
to vote for that.
I have made my vote. I have actually done the voting. Have you voted yet?
I have voted.
Mm-hmm. Also, The Rock has suffered a bursa sack in his elbow.
Ow.
while filming the Smashing Machine movie.
Tom Bergeron. Yeah, Tom Bergeron will receive the inaugural Sam Rubin Award at the Critics' Choice Real TV Awards.
Nice. Very good.
Ty Farrell explains why he couldn't find a wife and Farmer Wants a Wife. The Drag Race Queens have raised $2 million for the ACLU Drag Defense Fund. Jeff Probst is teasing a year-long celebration of Survivor 50. But
that's 2026, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them are your pro of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already talked about it. It's Pat Sajak. I mean, come on.
You got to play it one more time. Not the message, but you got to play the, you know, that thing.
In the butt?
No, not that one. The Wheel of Fortune. That one.
That one.
Yes, it is definitely Pat Sajak for his retirement. His retirement, and what a way to go. And believe me, that is one of the top 10 stories of the year. We are going to celebrate top 10 stories of the year so far. We're going to celebrate three weeks.
No, it was 3 weeks last week. It's 2 weeks now.
It is 2 weeks. Oh, that is 2 weeks. On the 26th.
Jason, that's how time works.
No. I'm just saying on the 26th, not the 3rd. Okay, cool. Works for me. So, Gordon, if you would.
Who are your pros?
That is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm going to shut it down right now. Wait. That button sounds like it needs some work. Can we try that again? There we go. Mike. Phew. I thought I had to replace the battery here. I know, we have been using it a while. The Chopper does need some repair sometime. So in our next act, we're going to give each other five good reasons why certain things should be or not be. And we're going to do that right after this break, here at 5 and 1, because this is We Love to Interrupt. We will be right back.
WLTI has been provided by Meat Masters. Show us your meat. We're going to be feeding meat to Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut. Nothing but meat. No veggie wieners here. Nothing but the finest of meat. You want to talk about that, MLE? Eat that. Eat that meat. And yes, Kobayashi owns you. The Meat Masters.
Kobayashi eats you.
Oh, okay. By the way, that was a bunch of moo poo. That was so pro wrestling moo poo, man. Just hit the bleep. That's terrible. That's just terrible. Anyway, right, exactly. Well, we have a fun game here called Five Good Reasons. We're going to give the opposite one of our people our opposites, a subject in the five good reasons. And I'm going to start with you, Gordon, because I have an interesting one for you that I think you might be interested. I think you might like this one. Okay?
Show me the meat.
You got it. Okay. As you know, it is about 2 weeks before the network code expires in SAG-AFTRA, but we really haven't heard much outside of that they're negotiating. Give me five good reasons why the negotiations will be successful and there will be no problems in the game show industry.
Well, first of all, and you said it, there hasn't been anything. And so you know that if someone's trying to curry the role of public opinion because they don't think that it's going too well, they're going to be leaking. No leaks here, so that's number one. Number two, there isn't nearly as much at stake here as there are in other things. There's not really much you can do with AI with the exception of writing, and again, this is not about the writing. That's number two. Number three, you already pretty much have a blueprint of how this should work. So this should be okay here. Number four, you're not going to have people on strike. Again, this is – everybody's been dealing with the strike and the pain. The last thing anybody wants is a strike, especially in this genre, because this gives you content on a daily basis. And number five, you don't have people that are – greed's not really a factor here. There isn't – I mean, obviously there's a pie, but there's not much of one really to be had. This is just more of a formal negotiations, and everything will be just fine.
Good. Good. We're hoping so because, like I said, we haven't heard anything. You know, it's just it's crazy. I love it. I love the fact that.
Easy.
Okay, so who's next?
All right. I'm going to give one to you, Jay.
Okay.
The Quiz with Balls and the 1% Club have been performing fairly decent for Fox this summer. Give me five good reasons why we're going to see both of them back next summer.
Okay, number one is, well, I'll start with the 1% Club first. The 1% Club is an intelligent show that actually makes you think a little bit, and it is actually entertainment television. Number two, The Quiz with Balls has good comedy with Jay Farrow. Number three, it has an interesting game mechanic. Number four, they're both inexpensive to produce because of the budget. And lastly, number five, Fox does not have any money original programming in the summer, so they need more programming like this. So that's why I think we're going to see them both, even though they're not doing as well as you're saying they are ratings-wise. They're doing okay. They're doing great. They're not doing great, though.
They're not doing great. They're doing decent.
Yes, exactly. Gordon, you have something for Chico, don't you?
Or do you have something for me?
You should have something for me.
Okay. Usually I say the Nancy curveball for you, but I'm going to save it for Jay this time around. So Chico, let's talk Jeopardy.
All right.
We have the silent killer assassin. We're going to play a little bit of mini infiltration. Give me five good reasons why she would do good in five different game shows than Jeopardy.
Ooh! Oh, wow!
This is a really good question here because there are so many options I could go with this. All right, she could do well in the 1% Club. Because she has that sort of quick mind that's able to suss out what a question is asking. So there's that. Two, she could do well on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire because, duh. Three, she could do well on, you know what? I'm going to say she could do well on Survivor because part of the challenge is all mental and she knows how to concentrate. And half of every challenge on Survivor is all about concentration. Four. What else is there? She could do well on Wheel of Fortune because I've yet to meet somebody who was on Jeopardy who did not do well on Wheel of Fortune.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Okay. Be that way.
No. This is... This is love, dude. This is love.
I know. I'm just playing.
And five, she could do well on Beat the Bridge because it turns into a speed game after a while, and she is very fast. There you go.
Okay.
And now. All right. And now we're going to flip it around. And now I'm going to flip it around to you, Gordon, because, okay. He talked about Savannah being on fire on Top Chef. And we talked about Danny being consistent on Top Chef. But give me five good reasons why either or the other will miss being in the top two.
Okay. So number one, you still have Dan, who, by the way, is from Wisconsin. So that's number one. Number two, he's got the edge on a number of things that he's got in terms of food. Number three, recently, both Dan and Savannah have both been at the bottom. So neither of them have a slam dunk yet. Number four, speaking of being on the bottom, Dan's record is much better than Savannah. Sure, she's coming on hot now. But again, for Top Chef, they judge the full body of work. Not just that. And number five, this is Dan's story, especially since he's come in with a, shall we say, a physical disadvantage over anybody else. Do I think that makes a great storyline? I sure do. Do I think it will determine who the winner is? Probably not, but it won't hurt. And those are my five reasons.
Awesome.
Okay. I have something for you, Chico.
All right.
Let's see. Okay. We have heard that Boston Rob is going to be on season three of The Traitors. Give me five good reasons why he wins the whole damn thing.
One, he is an expert manipulator. Two, he is also an expert liar. Three, he could play under the radar if he has to. And part of The Traitors is playing under the radar. Four, I don't think they're going to give any sort of way that he could quite possibly cheat his way to the win. No offense to Deal or No Deal Island, but yeah. And five, he knows how to choose his allies very carefully. And then ditch them at the next possible moment. Oh, sorry. And Gordon, you've got the last one to Jay. So.
Oh boy.
Hi, Jay.
Oh, here we go.
So we were talking, you know, about Chico's favorite show, The Bachelor.
Hmm.
And we haven't done anything on The Bachelor. So, Jay, give me 5 good reasons why next season's Golden Bachelor will be Chico's favorite show to watch.
Are you talking the Golden Bachelor or the Golden Bachelorette? Or both, either, either, or the other?
Yes.
Okay. Number one, we have a Golden Bachelorette, and again, the tone of the Golden Bachelorette and Bachelor Bachelorette, the Golden series, is much different than the original Bachelor franchise, Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, etc. Two. Most of the people on the Golden series are actually likable. There was not one of the people within the Golden franchise that you didn't like. Three, everyone loves a love story, especially about older people, and especially about older people in love. Four, we actually want to see an older woman go after older men. It's nice to see number five. Come on, it's cougarific. Why not? It's cougarific.
Is that a word that we even used on this show before?
I don't think so. I think I made it up. Cougarific. That's a show title. Cougarific. So
Jason may have just made a whole thing all of a sudden.
Yes, I did. So yeah, that's why it's going to be a great show. Which it, you know what? I really do think it's going to be a success again. I don't think the whole divorce thing is going to hurt the Golden Bachelor franchise. I don't think it's going to hurt it as much as people think it will. You know, I'm not 100% sure of that.
I think everybody has tuned in to the Bachelor franchise, not so much for the outcome, but for the journey.
Yes. So
that's basically what they're banking on with this. It's not going to be about the outcome. It's going to be about the journey. It's not.
That's why people watch The Voice.
It's not going to be about the reality. It's going to be about the fantasy.
Correct. Yep. Exactly. So there's that pretty much. But yeah, so that's 5 good reasons for many different things. I got 1 good reason why you should listen, and that's a speed round. And we will have that right after this here at 5 and 1. This, for the final time, is We Love to Interrupt.
We Love to Interrupt is brought to you by Cougarlicious. Jason Block hosts this fantastic show about older golden age women looking for their cougar. By the way, it's in a candy shop because everyone loves chocolate Puma.
Good night, everybody.
That's Cougarlicious.
It's Cougarlicious. Oh, man. Not okay.
Hey, Gordon, if this whole podcasting thing doesn't work out, have you considered voice acting?
Cougarlicious.
Indeed. But you know what's also Cougarlicious is Speed Round. And we're going to start it now. Have we seen the Million Dollar Act on AGT yet?
We have not seen TV, so no, we have not.
But you think we have?
I think we have. You might think we have. Gordon has not.
Okay.
Nope. No Cougar is a Million Dollar Winner.
Okay. By next week, does our good friend Ariana assassinate another 7 and get to 18? I think she does.
I think she does too.
I feel a little contrarian, but
okay.
Not as summer. You know what? No, I'm not. I'm gonna keep going.
Good.
No, good.
No, I was about to say, Top Chef. Who does not make the final three.
Laura, but more than number
one. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, it's great that she got back from Last Chance Kitchen, but I don't see anybody that is worse than her. Sorry.
Yeah. Drag Race. Gottmik got blocked. Who gets blocked next?
Mm-hmm.
Does Nell get any badges next week?
I don't know, but they're gonna do some out. What I was about to say. They're gonna do something like they did on season 7, where they give her a potentially way to catch up. You know what I mean?
They always do, but there's still tons of season left on All Stars 9. So I think she will get one, and I think Roxy Andrews is in the lead, so if she don't win, she's getting cut.
That's basically what they have to do, you know? Anyway, we have actually a response to something that we posted on our Instagram about about Nate Burleson hosting Hollywood Squares.
Okay.
Won't watch it.
That's it.
That's all they said. I'm not going to put the name of who said it because I'm about to roast this person.
Go for it, because honestly,
no, private human being. We do not torch private human being.
But
the fact that this person listens to us and watches us, and therefore I appreciate all feedback. So
we do
not roast this, and that gives honor.
That is true, but I will say this. I do not want to. I used to be that person who didn't give people a chance. I mean, Gordon knows that I was not a fan of reality competition shows when I met him 20 years ago. I've been opened to
reality shows suck. I believe that is exactly
that is the correct term I said, and I was and no, they do not. But some of them do. A lot of them do. But the good stuff is really good stuff. So I will want to give every host a chance, because remember, they're putting the time and effort into making a show better. Let's just see and give it a chance, okay? That's the way I would see that.
Yes.
That's the way I'd like to see that. And you know what I'd also like to see? I'd like to see more mail. How do we get that?
Oh, you can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet.com. You can send us some love at WLTI at GameshowNewsNet.com. It's GameshowNewsNet, no.com, for all of our social media. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I'm GFNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5&1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about everything going on network-wide. Next month, Jay and I are looking for another reason to put on the BS Big Show. Some things are moving around. We've got some training camp issues. Aaron Rodgers is holding out for some reason again.
No, he had an unexcused absence. That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
Ayahuasca.
Drugs are bad, kids.
Don't drugs, children.
Drugs are bad. Over on the NAWC, Nikki is going to be away this week, so I, VRM, and anyone who wants to show up, we'll be talking about that. We're going to do a preview of Clash at the Castle, talk about AEW and Forbidden Door, and talk about the crossover that may happen as we broadcast, because TNA, the NXT had a pay-per-view this past Sunday with TNA members on them, including Jordynne Grace and Ash by Elegance, the former Dana Brooke. So we'll see more of that, and can't wait to talk about that as we're heading towards some big stuff going down. Gordon, The UBAtoday.info, I saw you put some clinching scenarios on that page.
Yeah, well, every weekend now there's going to be different districts. We're over the halfway point. We still have a couple of districts that need to clinch, and then playoffs start in July.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It'd be fun.
And, of course, UBAtoday.info and, of course, Caffeine TV, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Chico, it was a thing.
Okay, so next week we are going to be saluting one of the big movies coming out this summer, Deadpool versus Wolverine, featuring three episodes which features Deadpool and one episode which features Wolverine. But in the meantime, we have That Puppet Game Show, which is, as you probably guessed, a game show with puppets.
Oh boy!
Everybody loves puppets.
I know you're a big Muppet fan, Gordon.
Does anybody remember a show called Wienerville?
I do.
Okay. They actually tried to do a game show with puppets back then, 30 years ago.
Yeah, this one has not just any puppets. Jim Henson's Muppets are involved with this one.
Oh, I'm definitely interested. And it was a thing on TV, right? It was a thing on TV.
It was a thing on TV.com.
Have you gotten to 100,000 yet?
I don't know, but we probably will.
I'm looking. 98,700. So,
yeah.
Cool.
So all of that's going on. And next week, we are going to be talking about Adriana on Jeopardy. We're going to be talking about Chefs on a Boat. We're going to be talking about, well, I guess we can review I Kissed a Boy on Hulu, because, hey, we're going to actually get that now. And All of the news of the last 7 days. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. For everybody here at 5-1, our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Until next week, game over. And sprinkle one.